The set-aside prayer. I want to welcome our new Travis. I want to welcome you. God, set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially let me let go of my old ideas so I can see new truth and I can live in your truth. God, help me carry your message tonight. Amen. Okay. Tonight we are covering the two pages that if you do what's in these two pages, your life will change. You can come to AA for a variety of reasons, and you can go to a lot of meetings, but if you want to change, you need to work the steps, I believe that. And you actually have to take the actions and follow the directions in the book, or else nothing changes. The two things I had to learn to deal with, and I had to learn how to handle with God, is anger and fear. And I'm angry and afraid when I'm in self. If I'm with God, I'm never angry or afraid because I'm with the Lord right now. But if I'm in anger or fear, I'm separated. And if I live in anger and fear, I'm going to drink or use again. Isn't that why we used and drank? And anger and fear can be subtle. It can be irritable. You can be restless, discontented. Things aren't quite right. Or it can be outrage, rage at something, or complete overwhelming fear. But anger and fear block out the now. They block out God. And if you come to meetings and you read the book and you have a sponsor, but you don't follow the directions and learn how to handle anger and fear, nothing's going to change. And the way we learn how to handle anger and fear is we learn how to face and be rid of it with God. Isn't that great? So if I'm angry or fearful today, all I have to do is follow the instructions that we're going to cover in the next few weeks, and it'll go away. Guaranteed. God doesn't want me to be angry, doesn't want me to be afraid. These are the killers, fear and anger, and they're interrelated. Whenever you're angry, it's because you're afraid of something, or you're threatened in some way, your self-esteem or your pride. So we're at the point of, or we're at the bottom of page 66, 65, my book's falling apart. And we've covered resentment, and we've covered the first three columns. If anybody wants to do the first three columns and they can't find anybody to go over with, I'll do it, or I'll get somebody to help you. It doesn't take long to write out all the people you were angry at, why you're angry, and what was threatened. And the instructions I've covered last week, I've covered many times on the site, experiencethebigbook.org. And we're getting to the point now we're going to be free of anger. Can you imagine? An alcoholic free of anger. It says we went back through our lives. So that's all you have to do is look at your life. You don't have to be a genius to do this. Nothing counted, but you have to be thorough and honest. And when we finish, we consider it carefully. So you go through your life and you make a list of all the people or institutions or principles in which you were angry. Shouldn't be hard. If you're a real alcoholic, everybody you've ever met. I mean, I'm being facetious, but you know, a lot of people bothered us. Or maybe I was sicker than others, but yeah, I was. But if you look back, a lot of people bother you. And some of them made you really angry. And institutions and principles, you list them. And now you list those first. I didn't emphasize that. You make a list, you fill out the... And when you're done with like 50 names, then you write why you were angry at them. Keep it short. Because half the time it's not even true what you're writing. And it doesn't matter, because we're going to learn you never have to be angry. There's no justified anger. Then you put the third column is what was threatened. It tells you here, was it your self-esteem always? Because remember, we have low self-worth, so we're always threatened. Our pride, because we have excessive pride, we're very proudful, but we have low self-esteem. That's a bad situation. And AA is that, and the 12 steps will build your self-esteem and lower your excessive pride, because you get you connected to God, and you get your worth from serving God, not from others. And you get pride from serving God. Your pocketbooks, your ambitions, your personal relationships, security, sex relations, anytime that gets threatened, it produces fear, and then you get angry. So if somebody's bothering you tomorrow, and you can't figure out why, it's because you have excessive pride, low self-esteem, and you don't like the way they're either looking at you or dealing with you, or you shouldn't have to put up with people like that. You're so wonderful. Why? And they're so stupid and blah, 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 blah. Anybody ever do that? Yeah, and you might do it during the meeting. I may make your list tonight. You never know. It's possible. Yeah, I'm telling you, this is serious. It took me quite a while in AA to realize that I was on a lot of people's four steps. I made a lot of resentment inventories. Can you see that? A lot of people come here and don't realize that. The first thing apparent, so you're going to look at your life and you're going to make three comms, and you're going to look at your anger, how you were disturbed by human beings in your life. Anybody thinks that they cannot do that? You're going to look at the list, and it's going to be apparent to you or to someone you're doing this with that the world and its people were often quite wrong. Now, who decided they were wrong? That's the key. Me. They may not have been wrong at all, but I decided they were wrong. Anybody else do that? And of course, whatever we decide is right. Now, who decides what's right or wrong? God. See, God's the judge. We were playing God, judging everybody, and we saw a lot of things that were wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was far as most of us ever got, and we live that way. These people were wrong, and you go home, and you stew in your chair, and you plan their execution, and they're watching Big Bang. They don't care. And you're ruining your life, hating somebody, and they're wrong, and they may not have even been wrong. Now, I don't know about you, but I lived like that for a long time. Not every day or every moment, but my whole life, there was always something that was someone, something that was wrong. And who dies when that happens? Who's suffering? Me. That's why I say we don't ever have to be angry again. We don't want to ever get angry. Now we're going to get into that in a few paragraphs. To conclude that others were wrong as far as most have ever got. And that's the thing. I don't want to conclude that anybody's wrong. I don't want to judge them anymore. I'm just wrong if I get disturbed. Remember, if I get disturbed for whatever, no matter whatever the cause, there's something wrong with me. Now, I was disturbed today because I showed my wife this thing. Be the least disturbed person in the room. She says, well, that's great, honey. You can go downstairs in your TV room. You're the only one in there. You'll be the least disturbed. Then she said something because she thinks she's funny. She won't listen. I know she won't listen. She says, you should get a wristband that says, be the least disturbing in the room. Yeah, you see. So then, of course, I had to hold the wristband because you get it. But that's how human beings are, right? The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Now, how did they wrong me? They wronged me in my mind. They did things that I thought were wrong. They may have done actions, but I perceived it as wrong. Sometimes it was remorse. I was remorseful and I was sore at myself. But the more I fought and tried to have my own way, anybody do that? We fight to have our way. We have to be right. The worse things get. You ever see that? You're in situation, you're trying to be helpful and tell them how they're wrong, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And you alienate people. Everybody says, anybody ever send the email or the text or the make the stupid phone call? And then they don't react the way you want. You're instructing them on how they're horrible, and they're not happy to hear it. I mean, right? Yeah, Norm knows what I'm talking about. As a war, the victor only seemed to win. Notice seemed is in italics. we think we're winning, but we're really just making ourselves more spiritually ill. And we don't want to win anymore, do we? We want to be of service and love and helpful to other people. We don't want to win. We don't have to be right anymore. Remember, we're going to see this in the fear, but we write everywhere, and you might want to do this tonight, put it on your mirror or in your car dashboard, what I want doesn't matter. It doesn't. It's only what God wants for me that matters, and that I carry out His will. What I want doesn't matter. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. Now here's one paragraph. I don't know how they wrote this. It's plain. It's plain to who? To you. To someone reading this. And it should be plain to you when you're doing this that my life, which included deep resentment, leads only to futility and unhappiness. Now, what is a deep resentment? All my resentments were deep. All my anger was deep. Now, a lot of people say, I have no resentments. Well, they don't understand. It's where people bothered you, disturbed you, you didn't like the way they were, or you perceived something wrong with them. And then there are different levels of how angry you are at different times. But I had one meeting, it was in the other room, and the guy pounded the table and says, I don't get angry. He says, I don't get angry long enough to get a resentment, and pounded the desk and left the room. That was a meeting to remember. But you see, and a lot of people tell me they don't have any resentments. Well, because the anger they live in all the time. They don't see it. It's the water we swim in. The way we judge people, the way we're bothered by people, the way we are intolerant and impatient. Now, futility and unhappiness is not good. And here's the problem. I caused the futility and unhappiness by the way I saw the world and the way I judged people, and I got angry. Now, it says at the beginning of the book that if you have a seemingly hopeless condition of mind and body, they have a solution for you. Well, if you have resentment, you have a hopeless condition of mind and body at the moment that you're angry because you're without God. But if you live that whole way, can you see how you took actions on your resentments that may have caused you to be harmed and harmed other people? Anybody ever do that? Look at all your decisions in life and your regrets and the things. Now here's the key. To the precise extent, notice the word, the precise extent, to the amount that I permit these, I squander the hours that might have been worthwhile. So if I have a little anger, then I might only be squandered a little time, right? But if I have a little anger all day long, I've squandered a lot of time of the day. Squander means to waste. How much time have I spent in anger and fear? And whenever you're angry, you're afraid. They come together. Now, I don't know about you, but if I get a fear at all, I just say to God, I'm not going to spend any more time in that. It's a complete waste of time. It's not true. It's not even here. It's not real. It's not happening now. I'm not going to do it. And I've tried to do the same with anger. I don't want to waste 5 minutes being disturbed by someone else. Now, here's the problem. If you're angry, that person is in your head, running your life for as long as you want them to do it. Now, there's some people that are absolutely annoying. We could all raise our hand and say, that person is really annoying. Great, don't let them get in your head. Just because somebody's annoying, don't let it annoy you. You see the difference? I may be annoying. Somebody may be annoyed at me now. Get over it. Don't put me in your head. See, we don't want to do that. I don't want to allow somebody to replace God in my brain and to have power over me. So there are annoying people. We don't have to be annoyed. Now, how do we keep that? We get tolerant. We ask God to make me tolerant, put a barrier between whatever somebody does and me getting disturbed. Sandy Beach said that he had a friend who told him every day before he leaves the house, he forgives the first 10 people who bother him. He's already made a decision ahead of time to forgive them. Does that make sense? But with the alcoholic, now everybody in here is an alcoholic, right? Now it doesn't say drinking alcoholic. It just says if you're an alcoholic, if you have the spiritual malady, and your hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, so you want to maintain and then grow a relationship with God and experience His power in your life, right? Does everybody want that? Because without God, we have no power, and we don't want to run our lives. The business of resentment is infinitely grave. So all the alcoholics in this room who are sober, you want to maintain and grow your spiritual experience today, right? Resentment's infinitely grave. It's always there. Why? Because we always have our self-centered glasses, and we see things that we don't like, so we have to take them off and put the God-centered glasses on. God made us so that when we wake up, we have the wrong glasses on. I don't know why He did that, but we do. We all have self-centered glasses when we wake up, and then we have to take them off and put the God-centered ones on. Does that make sense? Because that's the way we're made. That's all self-will is. You have the wrong glasses on. But infinitely grave, by the way, is not good. Okay? Infinitely grave, not just grave. Grave means fatal. Now, in case you didn't know what they were saying, it says we found that it is fatal. You're going to die. They're threatening your life. Now, how can you die from being resentful? Well, you'll drink. Most alcoholics drink over fear and resentment. They can't live in the now. But why else is it infinitely grave? It shuts me off from God. And then I won't have any peace. I won't have any emotional sobriety. You can be physically sober and get coins all the time and be angry all the time. What kind of life is that? Who wants that? To be spiritually dead, to me, is the worst thing. I don't want to be that way. It's fatal. And here's why. Because when I harbor these feelings, now, resentment is a feeling. It's a feeling of anger, negative feelings. When I harbor them, a harbor is a safe place in a storm. We put resentments in my brain in a safe place where nobody can get to them. See how crazy we are? We don't want anybody to get between me and my resentments. I put it in a safe place. You ever try to talk to somebody who has a resentment and try to explain how maybe they would see it differently? And they're looking at you like you're, you know, what are you doing interfering with my resentment? It's like getting between an alcoholic and their drink. We harbor them. We shut ourselves off. I shut myself off. Isn't that crazy? I was the one who did it from the sunlight of the Spirit. Get the spiritual sunlight of the Holy Spirit, you could say, if that's the way you believe. You shut yourself off. Now, the sunlight of the Spirit is always there. Notice the word. But I shut myself off from it. I live in the darkness, and I'm not in the light. And that's, they took all this from the scriptures. We want to walk in the light, right? But when we're harboring resentments, we're in the darkness. And we harbor them so the light can't penetrate, you see? And it says, the insanity of alcohol returns. What's the insanity of alcohol? It means that I think that I could take a drink. My mind tells me, take a drink, which is insane, right? Because we know we can't. And I drink again, and the drink is to die. So resentment kills us in two ways. We'll drink, and if we don't drink, we're dead spiritually. And we're going to have problems with relationships. We're going to have problems in our lives. And our life is going to be a mess. So, resentment is taking poison, hoping you die. How ridiculous is that? Now, it says if we're to live. So we're on page 66. If you're in AA and you want to live, anybody here want to live? So I suggest you get to page 66. And you get to this point, you do the three columns. It says if you're to live, you had to be free of anger. It doesn't say you can't get angry, but you want to be free of it. You don't want it to have power over you. So you can get annoyed or something can bother you, but you don't want to stay angry. Free of anger. Now, what is the bondage itself? Anybody heard that? Anybody say the third step prayer, you love the bondage? What is the bondage itself? anger and fear. We're slaves to our own anger and fear. We're in bondage to self. And when we're in that way, we're spiritually dead. We're shut off from God. So we all want to live, right? Anybody here not want to live? All right, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm. Brainstorm is not being smart. It meant rage when they wrote this. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are poison. Look at the words. It's poison for me to be angry. Dubious luxury means questionable luxury. Now, normal people may be able to get angry. I don't know about them. But if you're an alcoholic, at least if you're like me, anger is poison. I don't. And the thing is, I've learned that I don't want to be disturbed. I wear the wristband. I get angry, but I don't want to stay angry. I want to say the prayers, which we're going to learn about right away. And I'd like to get free of anger within like 20 seconds. I used to set 5 minutes. And as I've gone further, I don't even want to waste 30 seconds being angry. So what are you going to do? You want to live, you want to be free of anger. So it says you turn back to the list. So you have to have a list. It's the key to your future. Have anybody ever gone to an AA discussion meeting? Anybody go to a lot of AA discussion meetings? Have you ever had anybody read, "This is the key to your future"? It's never read. These two pages are never read. I don't know why. Anybody, topic, free of anger. Let's read this paragraph. It's just never done. I don't know why. List that holds the key to the future. And I want to tell you, it was in AA a while before I found these pages. And I've listened to a lot of workshops and a lot of speakers, but somehow this clicked in me. And I see it the way I see it and see if it helps you. Because it's the key to your future. So they're going to look at my life and my and everything that I wrote in the first three columns from an entirely different angle. So if you're angry at someone and you have the cause and you're threatened, you're going to say, "I need to look at it from a different angle." Why? To be free of it. We began to see, you're going to begin to see that the world and the people dominated you. Anybody else have people dominate you in your whole life? Anybody in a relationship where the other person dominated you? And then you left that one and you found another one? And then another one and another one? It could just be one thing, but they dominate you. And look at the word dominate you. I allowed my anger to dominate me. And let these people dominate me. In that state, Stu said, I said, why would I allow spiritually ill people to run my life? You see? He said I said that. I don't remember, but it makes sense. The world and the people dominated us. In that state where these people were dominating me, the wrongdoing of others, what I thought they did wrong, fancied or real, it may not even be true, a lot of times it isn't, had power to actually kill me. Do you see that? Anybody agree with that? How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered. See, they're mastering me. I have to master them. But how? How do I master my anger? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol. It says selfishness, self-centeredness is the root of our problem. You've heard that. God makes it possible. We have to be relieved of our selfishness, right? Well, we have to be relieved of our resentments. How do we do that? You see, I could not wish them away. In fact, the more you focus on them, the more they dominate you. Joe and Charlie made the point that we have, all alcoholics are born with this replay machine. And we have it in our head, and we wake up in the morning and we turn it on. And we're watching to see who's treating us poorly, who's bothering us, who's disturbing us. And if something happens at 9 o'clock, we keep replaying what happened at 9 o'clock all day long. And it's 3 o'clock and we're still back at 9 o'clock. It's like if they played the replay of the first quarter, the game still goes on. But there you're replaying it. Meanwhile, life is still going on. And we do that. So this was their course. This is what they did. And these next, I don't know, 10 lines changed my life. I realized that people who wronged me were perhaps spiritually ill. Who wronged me, how I saw it wrong, and were perhaps spiritually sick. Now what I say is they're human beings now. They're children of God. They have their own personality, but some of them are really sick. I mean, they're just not well, spiritually well, but anytime I get angry at anybody, I just say they're human beings, they're entitled to their personality, and I don't want to judge who's spiritually sick or not. So I like to just say they are who they are. We had an expression when we do our four steps, we all have a significant other, and we'll say Patty's Patty, and Judy's Judy, and Stu's Stu, and Michael's Michael. I mean, we are who we are, right? And it says, though we did not like their symptoms and the way these disturbed me, you see, they disturbed me. And what were their symptoms? What were their wrongs? They, like ourselves, were sick too. So I have to remember that I can disturb other people and that I'm a human being too, and we all have our personalities. And so I don't want to be disturbed anymore by anyone. I don't want to allow them to disturb me. They are who they are. Now, some people do really horrible things, and you don't have to excuse them, but you can forgive them. We're not saying I have to excuse people's behavior, but I don't want to be disturbed by them. I don't want them to dominate my mind. I want to forgive them. And this is actually how you forgive people. You say they are who they are. They're children of God. They all have we all make mistakes. I've made mistakes. They make mistakes. How can I forgive them? So then I'm going to ask God. This is the first prayer. First thing I do, if anybody bothers me, I say, well, they're a human being, or they're spiritually sick, or they are who they are. I don't want to let them disturb me, whatever they did. I say, God, help me show them tolerance, pity, and patience that I would cheerfully grant a sick friend. This is how you can love your neighbors yourself. You can love everybody. Tolerance, pity, and patience you would cheerfully grant a sick friend. And if I have, and I want God to show, help me show them tolerance. That means whatever they are, or pity if they're not well, and patience with their personality. Now, if you say this, if somebody's bothering you, you say to yourself, oh, they are who they are. God, give me patience, tolerance, and kindness towards them. You're already buffering your reaction. You're already stopping your reaction of the anger if you say it right away. Then when a patient offends, we say to ourselves, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to them? Now, so I do it automatically. God, give me patience, tolerance, pity, love. This is, how can I be helpful to them? I'm changing my directions from not how they disturb me to how I can help them, right? And then the third prayer, God save me from being angry, thy will be done. God save me from being angry. Save me from my anger. I'm the one that's dying. Now, a lot of people talk about their resentments and say how they pray for the person. They pray for 2 weeks. And that's in a story in the back, Freedom from Bondage. It wasn't in the original book. I'm not going to comment whether that's good or bad. But if you are going to pray for somebody, make sure you're free of anger when you do that. Make sure that you've done the prayers and you see them as a child of God and that you've forgiven them. And then your prayers will be out of love for them, whatever you think they should need. When I pray for people ill, I ask them to open their mind and heart to God. I ask God to open, reveal himself to them so they can feel his love and power. So it says we avoid, so you got the three prayers, right? Automatically. Love, patience, tolerance. How can I be helpful? God, save me from being angry. Now, if you say that enough times, you don't want to say them all the time. So when somebody bothers you, you'll just say, well, they are who they are, and that's the way it is. God, give me love and tolerance. Change the way I see them, and it's quick. But in the beginning, when we do a four-step, I have them do the three columns. We look at it from a different angle. They say the prayers for everybody till they've actually forgiven them. They've changed the way they see them. This will change the way you see the person. We avoid retaliation or argument. I'll say that 25 times. Do not retaliate or argue. It's no good. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. And here's the key. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. You want to always be helpful to everybody. We cannot be helpful to all people, but here's the key. Final prayer. God helps me show a kind and tolerant view of each and every one, everybody I meet, everyone in the world. And so this goes back to what we read a few weeks ago, I think on Wednesday night. It says when we, in our morning meditation, we ask God to show us the way of love, patience, and tolerance towards the family and towards everybody. So my creed is to be loving, patient, tolerant, kind, compassionate, considerate to everybody. Am I that way all the time? Of course not. If I'm not, I'm disturbed. So I say, okay, Michael, well, LPTKCC, they are who they are. And I want to tell you, if you do this, you don't have to be disturbed in anybody. Now, if you want to be disturbed and you want to not forgive somebody, good, have a party. It's your life. But you can forgive everyone. Because God commands us to forgive everyone. And he'll forgive you as you forgive them. So I want to stop here. I will review some of this. But these pages are really the most powerful. If you do this every time you get disturbed, your life will change. Guaranteed. Thank you.